We get the local view from Flo Tesh. She is your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. Find her work if you can track her down. She ducked me all night long for KEZI Sports, KEZI.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, how you doing?
Steve, I didn't duck you last night. I kind of had to do my job, so I was shooting the entire game. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to enjoy the game and sit on press row. Instead, I was up in the nest shooting the game away, but I did get a phenomenal shot of that Dylan Brooks three, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, see, you might be the millennial, but I have the millennial mentality. You clearly don't understand it's all about me.
Fair point.
So you've obviously seen some great sporting events in person, but for pure entertainment and just the way that finished, how high do you rate last night up there?
Oh, I mean, last night was just a fun game to watch. Like, I don't care if you're a fan, if you're media, like who you are, like that was just a fun basketball game, because so rarely do those really highly, you know, kind of televised or highly promoted games actually live up to the hype. And the kind of, I think, maybe 5 minutes into the game in that first half, when Oregon and UCLA were going shot for shot, I realized, I said, okay, this game is living up to the hype. And it was just good, fun basketball. I mean, it was exciting, you know? And it was funny because it wasn't kind of your typical Oregon basketball game for a while. I mean, I don't think Oregon had a block until, what, late in the first
yep.
half? Like, it's so weird not to see a block from Jordan Bell or Chris Boucher right off the bat, but... and then, of course, we only had that one, you know, kind of big dunk from Jordan Bell in the second. But, no, I mean, it was fast-paced for Oregon. I think a little too fast for Dana Altman's preference. But, you know, they pulled out a win, and that's something that Oregon's been able to do all year, is find a way to win. And, you know, it's a good way to start off Pac-12 play, probably the best.
You posted your recap online, and it's also on your Twitter feed, and we know you mentioned Coach Altman. He has not been delighted most of the year. I guess you could say maybe playing down to their level of competition. This was different with UCLA here. What did the coach have to say about, you know, the performance to win this game after?
Yeah, you know, Dana wasn't too happy with the way that Oregon ended non-con, and he said that he just wanted them to take a few days off. You know, they were coming back on Christmas night, and to just kind of have, you know, a few good days of practice, and hopefully they'd be able to get their minds set straight. And he said they had three phenomenal days of practice on the 25th, 26th, and 27th, and then that's what paid off. And then, of course, having that challenge, like taking on a number two team and a previously undefeated team, and the fact that it's the start of Pac-12 play, I mean, he felt like they were able to rise to the occasion. Now, in typical Dana Altman fashion, he's still not quite too happy with the way the team played, because there's still a lot of work to be done, still called this team a work in progress. Another big challenge. Yeah, you know, I think some people are overlooking USC right now, but they are still undefeated and coming in tomorrow night at 7 in part of that doubleheader of the men's and women's teams. But, I mean, it's another big challenge for them. It's, you know, in Pac-12 play, we've seen it for the last, you know, 5 years at this point. Anyone can lose any game at any time. So, big challenge for the Ducks. I think they found their rhythm, and the team said yesterday that they have the confidence that they need to move forward in the rest of conference play.
Talking with Kristen Rogers of KEZI, of course, Dylan Brooks graduates into Oregon lore. After the game, the man you called, well done, by the way, Mr. Big Shot, what did he have to say about that moment, that game, that final play?
Yeah, you know, he was just saying that this was the, you know, he worked so hard on his game. And if you think about the 5 months that he's had, even Dana said after the game that he was happy it was Dylan, because he has struggled for 5 months with his injury and being out and not able to play and all this hype and talk about him and not being able to contribute to his team and help his team out. And to be able to, you know, do that last night, I think was good for him and his confidence. And, you know, he is the type of guy that wants the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And he said that, you know, he's been dreaming about that moment forever, and he wants more of those moments. He wants more of those chances to lift his team up. And, I mean, you could see that just pure raw excitement on his face in that kind of primal scream he had after he sunk that three. And Willie Taggart should keep an eye out, because that tackle by Jordan Bell was quite great. I think Jordan Bell would be a great linebacker for the Ducks if he's looking for anyone. But, no, I mean, it was, you know, it was a great moment. And like you said, he definitely is into Oregon lore for now on for that shot.
You know, I mentioned all the great sporting events you've seen, hoops, football, but for the past month, a lot of us have heard all about how fantastic Lonzo Ball of UCLA is. Well, we just got to see him in person. Just from, like I said, all you've seen, how ridiculous of a game does this young guy have?
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. It was pretty cool because obviously, you know, as a freshman, it's, you know, kind of the first time that you get to see them in person for a lot of these games. And that's one of the reasons why I love Pac-12 and I love covering college basketball. And it was cool to see him. And you saw TJ Leaf, and, you know, I've seen Bryce Alford play before, but it was awesome to, you know, see these guys in person and see the kind of games that they were able to put together. And they are phenomenal. I mean, it's, you know, they're not your typical maybe Kentucky team where they're really, you know, broad-shouldered big guys. I mean, these guys are a little bit smaller, a little bit lengthier. And by smaller, I mean, you know, like weight-wise, yeah, not like right. height-wise, because they obviously have the height. But, you know, they're just great shooters. And Dana Altman said last night that this is still the team to beat in the conference because he expects, you know, Oregon to win every home game because you're supposed to win at home. And I think that rematch they're going to play again at Pauley Pavilion, which is a tough atmosphere to play in, and I've been to many games there. That's on February 9th.
Yep.
So a lot looking forward to the rest of conference play.
I want to get to the women's team, and we saw last year's tournament run derailed when Jillian Aileen got hurt. This year, great start. Then they lost their super frosh, Sabrina Ionescu. And now from what I read, I guess Maite Cazorla is hurt. You attended today's media session, so I guess, you know, give us the latest as far as what Coach Graves had to say with this killer Pac-12 opener looming.
Yeah, you know, I asked Kelly how he feels heading into Pac-12 play, and he's not too happy. Actually, it was funny. Someone asked, you know, after Dana had talked last night about how the men's team has three great practices. Kelly Graves was straight up and he said that these last three practices have been, quote, awful for the Ducks. And
wow.
It's because so many of them are injured. Yeah, I mean, you know, Sabrina's out. Maite, he says, is going to be out against Washington. He says he expects her to. I do think that is going to continue over tomorrow. I don't think it's a game time decision or anything like that. But, you know, she's out with some foot stuff. So, I mean, it's nothing big, but it's these minor injuries that just kind of, you know, plague you and drive the team down, and that's frustrating to deal with. Now, I did ask Kelly what he thinks the advantages that Oregon has moving up against Washington, and he thinks that they're going to be good on the inside, and he thinks that offensively he can, you know, the Ducks can keep up with them shooting. But, you know, it's tough. You know, what do you do with a girl like Kelsey Plum, who has just been phenomenal, and this year especially, I mean, her game has just, you know, gone through the roof this season, and, you know, she works hard. You know, she's not the tallest for her position. She's, you know, not the most, you know, athletic, I would say, but she knows this game inside and out, and she works hard, and you can see that all pay off onto the court. So it's really just, you know, not stopping her, but slowing her down, and it's a big test for the Ducks, but I think it's going to be good for them to figure out where they stand in the rest of the conference, because they were picked to finish seventh in preseason rankings, so kind of get an idea of where they sit in Pac-12 play. But it's, again, going to be a tough challenge, especially when Maite Cazorla, the girl that was able to do such a good job guarding Kelsey Plum last year, is going to be out.
A couple of final thoughts for Kristen Rogers, KECI. Tomorrow night, your alma mater in town. I guess they kind of held off Oregon State last night. And USC did make the tournament this year. I think a lot of people, like you mentioned, they're flying under the radar a little bit. From folks you talk to, paying attention to your old stomping ground, what are you hearing about that's so good about this Trojan team?
You know, they're looking really good. And I remember when Andy Enfield was brought in as the new head coach. And I guess to date myself, kind of, but Kevin O'Neill was the head coach of USC when I first went down there, and obviously saw him be fired, and then Andy Enfield was brought in. And you know, it obviously takes programs a couple of years to get going. I thought that maybe we would see it happen a little bit sooner, and then I think there was kind of some maybe weird turmoil in the off season. Kate Reinhart, who's from Southern California guy, I'm pretty sure he went to Modern Day, big name, left for I think Marquette this past off season, and he had already transferred from UNLV. So there was a lot of, you know, debate of what was going on the, you know, behind the scenes for USC and whatnot, but things are working for them right now. I mean, Elijah Stewart had a great game last night, and Andy's got something clicking for the Trojans. I mean, you're not going to be a bad team if you're, what, 13-0, 14-0 at this point. I mean, you can't overlook them anymore. And especially coming off such a big game like Oregon did last night against UCLA, they can't overlook SC tomorrow. It's going to be another big test for them.
Let's wrap with this. This weekend, aside from, I guess, Clemson and Ohio State, the game I can't wait to see is USC Penn State. And again, we hearken back to your much younger days as a college student. How you liking the way USC finished the season and their chances to win, which incredibly would be their 25th Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, Steve. I was questioning whether or not USC was going to be able to make it to a bowl game at all this season. After the first start to the year, it was not looking good. But this team is special. I mean, it's, you know, the way they're playing together right now and for each other, it's such a special thing to see. And, you know, you always talk about how many weapons USC has, both offensively and defensively. They have just phenomenal talent. But it's a lot of the times they're not able to bring that talent together and play together. Right now, they're a very talented team that is able to play really, really well together, and that's what makes them so special. Now, of course, Penn State is going to be a tough opponent. There's so much history and lore, you know, behind the Rose Bowl, behind this matchup. Looking back to the last time that these two teams played, looked a lot different, especially the coaching wise. But it should be a great game. I mean, what's the stat that USC has been in a Rose Bowl under every single president for the last, God, I don't know how many years, and they hadn't yet under the Obama era. So they're able to sneak it in under the wire. And yeah, I'm not going to lie, a little bit of the fan in me is going to come out on January 2nd because I am excited to see it all go down.
By the way, I need to commend you on your depth of knowledge. Caitlin Reinhart did go to Mater Dei, did transfer from UNLV, and did go to Marquette, so you get an extra gold star.
Thank you, Steve.
the joy of the information age. All right, looking ahead to this weekend, certainly no bowl game to cover. We're off tomorrow, so I'm considering today Friday. What can we expect to see from you and Mike and the KEZI crew as your coverage this holiday weekend?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be ending 2016 the way I started 2016 was I spent my last New Year's, for a flashback real quick, I was outside of Pat O'Brien's bar in San Antonio, Texas, for the Alamo Bowl, after Trevon Boykin got arrested, and I had a bunch of lovely people who were enjoying their spirits behind me because of the time difference, and it's never going to be a New Year's I'm going to forget, but luckily, that's not the case this year. There's a lot of great photos of people photobombing, I'm not going to lie. But no, I'm going to be ringing in 2016 with basketball all day tomorrow. I'm going to be at both Oregon men and women's games. Women play at 3, men play at 7. Both tough games, both, you know, ranked teams coming in to Matt Knight. So it's going to be a great way to end on December 30th, and then, of course, New Year's the day after.
All right. Consider yourself forewarned. I'm going to be seeking you tomorrow night.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, always appreciate the time, KR. Great stuff as usual. And like I said, enjoy, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. You too, Steve.
Bye.